Hello, this is Dr. Bill Blatchford with Blatchford Solutions. This is a Playing Your A-Game call. We started the A-Game calls after we wrote the first book, Playing Your A-Game. We have consequently written another book called Blatchford Blueprints, and in both of these books, we have highlighted several very successful doctors, what they have done in their practice to make it work, and what you can do from their practice to make your practice more successful. Tonight's call is brought to you by Blatchford Solutions, Smile Reminders, Bonadent Dental Laboratory, and Care Credit. I do want to announce that Blatchford Solutions does have a ski trip to Park City, Utah, February 28th and 22nd, through the 22nd of 2011. If you're interested in that trip, go to our website. We have a great time skiing and a little bit of seminar. Tonight, we have Dr. Mike Briggs from Mexico, Missouri. Dr. Briggs has been practicing for a number of years in a small town in northern Missouri and has joined the Blatchford program just a few months ago. Mike, I'm going to ask you a couple questions tonight, and if you can just answer them for our audience, it'll be wonderful. We have not rehearsed this program, so Mike really doesn't know what questions I'm going to ask him. So what you're going to get from tonight's program is a very honest answer, honest approach to, would this program work for you? I know many of you listening to this program are looking at Blatchford Solutions as a possible solution to your practice and how to improve your current practice situation, even though you're very successful at this time. Mike, why don't you tell us your Blatchford story? That is, when you first joined Blatchford, when you heard about us, what considerations you had going into the program, and perhaps what you were planning to do with your practice. And during that, of course, you can give us a little bit of a history of your practice. So basically, your Blatchford journey.
Sure, I'd be glad to do that. I first heard about the Blatchford coaching 3.5 years ago or so, the implant meeting in Chicago, and I talked briefly with one of his teammates there, and at that time I was turning 60, and I was deciding what I wanted to do with the rest of my career, and I made a decision at that point to ascend rather than descend, hunker down, play it safe, which is what I see many, if not most, dentists my age do. And then a little time went by before I explored it more, and I believe we started maybe around May this year.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I got started and about when.
So you were looking for what my coach, Dan Sullivan, calls a bigger future.
Sure.
You weren't going to descend into boredom and and just ride it out until the end. I mean, you were successful to start with. You were making an excellent living. You had a nice life in the small town. You're very active in your town. Your family is raised, and you and your wife are quite happy in Mexico, Missouri, with the practice you had.
Sure.
Mike, what particular benefits were you looking for?
If I could sort of distill it down into one sort of area, it's to improve my leadership skills. I felt I was pretty lacking in that. And, of course, we want this practice to be successful monetarily, improve our happiness, serve our patients, of course. So that's it in a nutshell, I'd say.
All right. So you wanted to improve your leadership skills. What changes were you looking at for your practice? Leadership skills lead to certain changes in practice. What were you looking for there?
Well, first thing that comes to mind is the leading the team. Profitability would be right in there. A lot of things, efficiency, and
you had just built a new office. As a matter of fact, a photo you sent me,
right,
a picture of you standing in the in your new office with the of course, I have to tease you a little bit, all those metal studs. You know, I come from a state that we raise timber, and we like you to use wood in those buildings, but you're using all metal, but that's fine. So you had just built a new office, so you were your expenses had gone up, and so you had to do some things to increase your income and maintain that level of profitability. have we done that?
Yes. I think there's sort of a short-term and a long-term thing going on here. We saw a rather rapid, dramatic change. A key thing was the team. You advised me to reorganize, make some changes there. I had a one-on-two consult with you and your wife, Carolyn, and I was hesitant to do that at first, but before too long, I did it. And the next month, we had a dramatic jump in our office income, and of course, our overhead went down some, and that was like overnight.
So how much, now you said you had some long-term employees, and of course one of the things we do at the summit is we have you evaluate your own employees, and we made some suggestions, and I believe you went from a staff to a team. You had a staff of how many people when we started?
Well, five.
Five. All right, and what do you have now?
Three.
All right, you have three. And today they're all pulling together, they're working as a team, and life is much easier for you. Now, what happened to the income? You said you jumped how much? I mean, how much did you jump?
It's hard. Well, in addition to, we worked less. We made these changes all at once. We went from working 4.5 days to 4 days. We reduced from 5 to 3, and our income went up $25,000 that month.
$25,000 that month, and now you've sustained that, I believe, over the last several months.
Well, pretty much, yeah. We're averaging 22 or so more, yeah.
And so you dropped for half a day a week, and actually, in talking to your wife, that was a full day because you were spending the best part of the day at the office, even though you said a half day.
Uh-huh.
But you've cut out a day a week. Now you've also added quite a bit of vacation time scheduled for this next year.
Yes. The team did.
Okay.
That's the thing. We they're involved in all this too, and they have mapped out our 2011. And they built. You have to understand. I would take off to go to a class, but I didn't really take vacations at all. And so this December, I'm going to be off for a week. And then the way we're going to work it is each quarter we're going to take a week's vacation in addition to working, you know, less every week. So that's our plan.
Very good. Now, you have, I want to ask you a couple of things. Your new schedule, Lynn, is just 4 days a week, a week off every quarter, mm-hmm. and plus a couple other times. You have about 6 weeks off next year?
Yeah, and that's not counting continuing education.
All right. Now, speaking of continuing education, you've added some skills to your office in the last few months, too.
Yes. We've really gone after that aggressively, and some of this improvement has come before those skills have been put in place. Specifically, we've been studying sedation, and we hope to get that started within a month from now.
But you haven't even started that yet. I mean, you've started the education on it, but you've not actually done any. And that's one of the things that we
implant.
That we do teach is to do something that other people aren't doing and expand your skill level a little bit.
A lot.
Mike, why don't you talk a little bit about the shift from staff to team? We've often said that staff's an infection, and a team is certainly an improvement over that. Talk about some of the changes that are taking place with your team members.
Well, I think that really gets to the heart of the whole matter. I feel strongly in the first place of selecting good team rather than just trying to create them, although mm-hmm. training and, you know, development's in there. But we started with we got to a core group of really good people.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I could pinpoint a couple of things that really caused that dramatic improvement, it was the scheduling, the block scheduling, and they started doing it well, and we were not doing it well at all. And then communication skills. And I think that's one thing you're really strong at is helping us improve that. So the combination of better communication skills and better scheduling. And
no,
then also
talking.
Their attitude.
Okay.
They felt empowered. They were just determined to make us do well. And then the bonuses. they're getting big bonuses. They're about $1,000 a month.
So each team member is getting about $1,000 a month, but your pay, your total compensation for your team at this point, that'd be salaries, employers' costs, and all that sort of thing, are still at or below 20%.
Yes, and they were 30-35%.
That's correct. And you see, doctors, that's one of the things that was very strong with us is that, you know, if you want to lower your overhead, most of you are looking in the wrong places. You're looking at your supply bill, you're looking at this and that. But truly, most of you are over 30% for staff. That includes salaries, it includes payroll costs, matching Social Security, workers' compensation, pension plans, health care insurance, and all the rest. And so Dr. Briggs actually went from over 30%, close to 35% when we started, to now he's under 20, and production has gone up by about $20,000 to $25,000 a month, working less time. So when I asked the question, two things you've done to increase efficiency and profitability, you gave me about four. You said block booking. You're actually using block booking now. Tell me what made the switch there. Why? I mean, block booking is not a new concept. I think I started teaching it 25 years ago, and it's been copied by a lot of people, but it's certainly been out there. There have been articles written on it, et cetera. What made the difference? Why are they now doing it?
Well, one of the benefits from it is that you have fewer peaks and valleys in your income and or day in each day, and you're doing the heavy cases early in the morning when you're fresh and the patients are fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it also just keeps the idea of scheduling well in your consciousness all the time. And we have a huddle every day, you know, before we start. And part of that is to, I'll explain it real quickly. We very briefly review the previous day, and then we look at today, and then we look about 3 days ahead. And by looking 3 days ahead, you have a little time to make a change if you need to. So it's in their consciousness to set things up as ideally as possible for us, and it works.
Very good. Okay, so block booking, and now you said also communication skills. What particular part of communication skills did you find so useful?
Well, I don't know that I could say one part, but I'll give you two or three. Listening to people effectively, and a key to listening to people is asking open-ended questions that are appropriate and timed well. And I think we've done a much better job of that. We're in a way that is, I don't think at all pressure sales. We're offering people more, but it's in the context of knowing their life better, their budget better, what they want for themselves better. And once we know all those things, then we can respond in a way that is appropriate for them. And we no longer hand our patients off to anybody. We have a front deskless system. And in the past, when we had someone in the front, the people in the back had not heard the patient's story. They didn't know the questions that came up. They didn't know this and that. But now we just have one of the teammates with them all the way through. And so they know. They know what the patient wants and what there's going on in their life. The patient today has just got through with her father dying, and another patient, her daughter's getting married next month. And, you know, it's good to know these things. And sometimes you have to be a little patient, I think, to really hear where the patient's coming from. And once you do, then you can serve them better. And you'll do more
things. I think this is an interesting point, that you are front deskless. Now, that is not something that we emphasize. I think it emphasizes one thing, though, that there is not a Blatchford model. I hear all the time, well, it's not a Blatchford office. This is a Mike Briggs office. I think currently out of the 50 doctors that I am coaching, and plus the doctors in my alumni program, I think I only have two that are actually front deskless. So it's not something that we teach. It's not our model, but we're flexible and we can work with that. And this was Dr. Briggs' idea to be work without somebody at the front desk full time. So he's totally cross-trained, and everyone is.
Yeah, I was going to add that, Bill. The cross-training is kind of what took us there, and that for us is working great.
Mm-hmm.
We have less specialists and more people that kind of ignore. And also, if you have a smaller group, that's important that everyone can kind of do everything. Yeah, so.
Well, that's something we really do emphasize is the cross training. Mike, if you could comment on the value of coaching for a moment. I mean, you said one comment you made earlier that really a lot of this is not new information, which I would agree with. But now you're doing it. I mean, you've really raised that practice. You know, we've jumped the production about 35 to 40%. Since we started, we've cut down the number of times you're doing it with a smaller staff. I mean, this is all things that you knew about.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about what the value of coaching is and how having a coach helps you facilitate these changes.
Well, of course, there'd be lots of things there. In terms of maybe three broad categories, communications, we talked about that, administrative thing, which would be systems, and then, of course, clinical things, and I think you've pointed me in the direction of a few things. But I would just back up what you said about there's no one Blatchford model, but there are certain types of clinical offerings that help you succeed. And, you know, we're working to get those in place. But and then it's key that I think that your team is open to teaching. And I didn't know if they would be or not, but they have been. And then the consultant that came to our office was excellent, and my team members all went up to her individually and had private conversations, and so that pleased me to no end. And so I think it's I think it's important that I'm coachable, or any dentist is. So that's a part of it too. You have to. You know, you don't just hand this to us. We've got to go do it. I guess an example of that is the books that you recommend. I think you recommend 40 or 50 books.
Mike, that's gonna scare anybody on this call. My gosh, I have to read 40 or 50 books.
No, you don't. You don't have to. But I.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We typically maybe a book a month, but you'll eventually get through those books. But tell us a little bit about the value that you get from the individual coaching, not the particulars of what you're doing, but the value of you've knew the material, you knew a lot of these things, but you weren't doing it prior to joining the program.
Well, that's true. It's sort of a support and encouragement sort of thing, and wisdom. You know, I don't have all the answers, and I'd say it's the combination of those things. I feel still that we're calling the shots in the practice, but we certainly appreciate, you know, guidance and feedback, and so that's what we're getting.
Well, one of the things that I say is that I don't have all the answers either, and my job is to help you get what you want and hold your feet to the fire to make the changes that have to be made. And of course, what I bring to the table is the experience of somewhere around 3,000 offices that I've individually coached over the last 20 years. And so, you know, I don't suggest anything that is not going to work, and someone hasn't done it before. You know, a question that comes up a lot, what is the cost of the program? And of course, we have three levels of programs. We have a silver level for doctors who are just starting their practices. We have the gold level for those doing between 500 and 800,000. And we have the platinum program for those doctors doing 800 and above. Now, Mike, you were just borderline between that gold and that platinum level. Why did you choose the platinum level. I mean, it was a little bit, it was $10,000 more than the gold level. Why did you choose that?
Well, it gave me the chance to interact with you one-on-one.
Okay.
That was valuable to me.
And that is the difference. In the gold level, you see, I don't individually coach each doctor. They get the same information, but they get it from one of my mentors. Mm-hmm. So of the program, I've done the math on this, and if you were to pay for this program over the 2 to 3 years that we finance it typically, the cost is about the same as a $17 an hour dental assistant. Now, you took your staff from 35% to 20%, or 15% savings on your production, and that certainly paid for the program, I believe.
It did. Quickly. Probably. At least 3 months or less.
Yeah, in about 3 months you paid for the program, and now the increase in your production, of course, goes to your bank account. And so, really, it was a very positive gain financially. One of the things that I see is very interesting is that a couple ways to make decisions like this. One is to be proactive, make a decision to move ahead, or make a decision not to. And the other one is procrastinate, not make the decision. Mike, you spent 3.5 years from the time you met me until you actually moved forward. Knowing what you know now, and you were meeting me for the first time, what would you advise?
Bill, in all honesty, I hesitate to give people advice, but I think it takes a little courage and do it.
So to do it, don't wait the 3.5 years.
See,
we're going to, in Dr. Briggs' case, he is going to earn probably in excess of an extra $100,000 this year, working less time, and that's $350,000, Dr. Briggs, that mm-hmm. that you lost by not joining sooner.
Well, and
just to make you feel bad, but that's okay. I'm glad you're with us now. You know, I hear often doctors say, "Well, I need to ask my spouse or my accountant or my team." One of the things that I advise is that it's a decision that the leader needs to make themselves. I find that doctors typically don't consult with their spouse to hire an extra dental assistant or buy a piece of equipment. And their accountant very often will say that, well, we can do this ourselves. We don't need to hire an outside consultant. Mike, do you have an accountant?
Well, that was my experience, what you just said. It was my call, and I could just back that up 100%. Now, one thing we haven't talked about is you encourage us to develop vision for the practice, practice purpose, goals, and then agreements with the team. We did all those things. Those have helped a lot. They've been sort of our, rudder, to guide the ship, so to speak.
Yes.
So,
did you get any advice from your accountant on whether or not to do a program like this?
No, she doesn't even know I'm doing it.
Okay. Well, this is the thing. Accountants that say that, well, we can do this on our own, and my question is, why didn't they do it before? They've known that you wanted to increase your profit, that you wanted to work less, and what have they done? I think this is very good, and I think that one of the things that we'll have is that on this teleconference tonight, we don't have the chance for questions the way it's worked out, so I'm going to ask some of the questions that I hear often.
Sure.
One, what have you done to... You've increased your production without instituting new clinical skills. I mean, you're training some new things now, your sedation and that sort of thing. What is the single biggest thing that has increased the production? I mean, you've been at it for 25 years. Why this $20,000 increase in production at this point?
Well, I've already said, I think the better scheduling and the communications. I can tell you what it was not. It wasn't marketing. We've done almost none other than internal. I think we're doing a little better job of that. But
why don't you tell us a little bit about Mexico, Missouri? I mean, it's a small town. In a small town, you don't have to do a lot of marketing. Everybody knows Mike in town. He's active in his church. He's active in choir. He's active in community theater. And so you see, in a town like that, you don't have to spend a lot of money on media. People do know you.
That's true. I probably don't refer to my patients out of the office.
What's the population of Mexico?
10,000, roughly.
10,000 in your drawing area?
30.
30,000, and approximately how many dentists do you have in that drawing area?
In the drawing area, there's, well, in town we have 6, if you don't count the orthodontist that comes once in a while. And probably in the area we have, 12 or 15.
Mm-hmm. So it's not exactly an area, I mean, we can't say it's an area that's underserved. You have enough dentists in the area. If a couple of you disappeared.
We're not a suburb either.
Right, you're not a suburb of a big city, so
yeah.
That's something very interesting. Well, what I would like to ask the doctors on the call tonight, I think, obviously, for Dr. Briggs and his team, 2010-2011 is going to be a banner year for them. Will 2010-2011 be a banner year for you? And what I notice out there on the, when I'm out and around speak groups where I speak and that sort of thing, the economy in the dental industry is somewhat flat at this time. And I think the biggest question is, what are you going to do to change it? The public has definitely changed their buying habits. I mean, an article in Wall Street Journal pointed out that personal savings is up 50% this year over 2 years ago. I mean, that's not a lot. Americans are now saving 3% of their income versus 2% as up to 2 years ago. And for the first time in almost 30 years, the amount of consumer debt has actually dropped. That is, people are not borrowing money to buy things like cars, like big screen televisions and dentistry. So that's changed, and everybody recognizes the change. I guess the next question would be, not to Dr. Briggs, but to all of you on the call, what have you changed to match this? And secondly, what has your team changed to match this? Or are you still hoping that this economic crisis will go away and everything will return to normal? I believe that this recession that we are in currently is a game changer. I think it's mainly a game changer, not because of the severity of the recession. I think it's a game changer because we have 24/7 news broadcasts. They keep telling us how bad things are. And of course, your patients are listening to this as well. And one of the things that I see that hope is not a business strategy. So my question is, what are you going to do about it? Well, Dr. Briggs, I'd like to thank you for your time this evening and your insight into this and helping these doctors perhaps make a decision to go ahead and do our program. For those of you listening, we do have a free CD for listening to this, and it's at blatchford.com/infusion/free CD. And you can get that, and you will be, we'll send you a CD with a little more information on it. If you're interested in contacting Blatchford, our contact information is blatchford.com or info@blatchford.com, and you can reach our office at 541-389-9088. 541-389-9088. And just for being on this call tonight, we will send you an email and we will send you the directions how to receive the free CD. So, Dr. Briggs, thank you very much for your time this evening, and thank you for all of you listening that this was worthwhile for you and that you can do something about this.
Thank you, Bill, and I'm really grateful for all the help.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.